Gopi Jana Balaba Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Balaba Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jashora Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana 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 Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ustitarasata Shishimad His Divine Grace Lacy Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sega Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivas Arigaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gau Gopakabina Shamkunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Sri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Sri Mayapur Dhamma Ki Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Vachas Tavaitaj Janadeva Sunritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashas karam yasya pramanam bhigavas samparaye pitamaha kula vridha prasantaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Vachastavaitaj Janadeva Sunritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashastaram Yasya Pramanam Bhrigavas Sampardaye Pitamaha Kula Vrita Prasantaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Vachastavaitaj Janadeva Sunritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashaskaram Yasya Pramanam Bhrigavas Sampardaye Pitamaha Kula Vrita Prasantaha Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Vacha, words, Tava, your, Etat, this kind of, Janadeva, O King of the people, Sunritam, very true, Kula Uchitam, exactly befitting your dynasty. Dharma Yutam, completely in accord with the principles of religion. Yashakaram, fit for spreading your reputation. Yasya.
Of whom?
Pramanam. The evidence. Brigava. The Brahmins of the Bhrigu dynasty. Samparaye. In the next world. Pitamaha. Your grandfather. Kulavridha. The oldest in the family. Prasantaha. Very peaceful. Palad Maharaj. Okay, so this is chapter 19. Lord Vamanadeva begs charity from Bali Maharaj. So the chapter summary. This 19th chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva asked for 3 paces of land in charity, how Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal, and how Sukracharya forbade Bali Maharaj to fulfill Lord Vamanadeva's request. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a brahmana, he told him to ask for anything he liked. Lord Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities. And after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj agreed to give this land in charity, since this was very insignificant. But Sukracharya, who could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Sukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. He explained that in subduing others, in joking, in responding to danger, in acting for the welfare of others, and so on, one could refuse to fulfill one's promise, and there would be no fault. By this philosophy, Sukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vamanadeva. Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this way, pleasing way, he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. Text 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmins or descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family, and specifically to his grandson Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prasantaha. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Right? So it means that, previously it mentioned peaceful. So that means if we are sober, then we're peaceful. If you look at things with the proper vision, with proper knowledge, then you can be peaceful because then there's no material desire. So if someone's peaceful, that means there's no material desire. So that's the point being made here, is that someone may argue that, you know, he's there, he's elder, he's still attached to the family, and especially his grandson. Because Manu mentions when you see the grandchildren, that's the time to go to the forest. But here he's prasanna. He has no material desire. He's sober. So actual sobriety means not having material desire. Not being sober meaning cutting a profile so the people call you cool. Right? That's not what it means. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prasanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra Kene Noi, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Hoy. Whether one is a Brahmin, a Sannyasi, or a Shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 8, 128. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is guru in all circumstances. Here, his lordship Vamanadeva also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. Okay. So you see here, the main point then is about this pure devotional service. That the pure devotion then means that you are seeing everything connected to Krishna. You're interpreting everything connected to Krishna. You're not coming up with another interpretation. So that's pure devotion. So then Prahlad Maharaj is given as the perfect example of the pure devotee. So in Bhagavatam, he's the first one you see given in detail where you bring out this aspect of pure devotion, the detail. We see before Rishabhdev and Bharat Maharaj and others were Paramahamsas, but it was all given in relationship to their performance of their duties as kings. And so showing that you can be on the transcendental platform and still perform your duties, because otherwise sometimes it's thought as I advance I should give up performing any duties. But the idea is that no, it's being done for Krishna, so there's no need to be given up. So that is shown in those earlier cantos. But in seventh canto we see with Prahlad Maharaj, then what's being shown is his attitude and how it applies in his life, how he's unaffected. Why? Because he's sober. Seeing everything connected to Krishna, what can go wrong? You're always with Krishna. Right? Whether it seems to be favorable or not, it's with Krishna. So how can it be unfavorable? Because favorable means how the soul will maintain, cultivate and maintain their relationship with Krishna. Unfavorable means that they'll give that up. So being in the material world, having material desire, that's unfavorable for the jiva. But being connected to the Lord, now that is then the proper position. Right? So then we see how to apply this in the life. So Krishna gives that hint is that the position is that we identify as the servant of the Lord. That's a very important aspect, because how you identify things in this world is based on how you identify yourself. Because if I'm going to view the world, it has to be a practical view. Practical means it applies to myself. Right? Does that make sense? This is quite a difference in the Vedic approach to knowledge as opposed to, you know, non-Vedic and especially the modern. Because what is in connection, how you can relate what is there to yourself, your experience, your application, that's called concrete. That's real. Concrete's better. That which is dealing with the mechanics of the situation you're in, the knowledge and skill required to work with that, that's called abstract. Interesting, no? Because in the modern, they'll say, you know, the science right there, dealing with it without the emotions, that's science, that's objective. And when you're dealing with the emotions, that's subjective. The Vedas say the exact opposite. Right? It's real because it connects to you and you can use it. Now, what are you supposed to use it for? Yes, God consciousness. But just knowing the mechanics and dealing with mechanics, it's impersonal. It only becomes personal when that knowledge will be applied in some effect in your life that gives you an experience. Now you can choose to use this process materially or spiritually. That's where the identity comes in. So when you identify as servant of Krishna, then all this knowledge that comes in that one there will apply in your life, you use that in Krishna's service. Then it becomes perfect. If you use it just for sense gratification, yes, you'll get bound here.
So this principle of being able to see things on how they will apply, this is what we mean, is that everybody will see it in a practical way according to their position. And one person's position is not necessarily practically, is the practical position for you. That's why in the Vedic system, you have all the different varnas and ashrams. Because what's practical for one is not for another. Right? Keeping a kingdom is practical for a kshatriya, it's not for a Brahmin. Right? Does that make sense? Doing business is practical for a businessman, not for Brahmins or kshatriyas or shudras. You understand? So everybody has a position, so they'll see it according to that. So I will look at the material world, I'll bring in information from the senses, but I will interpret that according to what is my identity. That's what makes it practical. That's what makes it that I can gain an experience. So when we see things that I'm servant of Krishna, then the information that comes in will interpret it as, okay, how to use this for Krishna's service. This makes sense to everybody, or because I'm kind of getting that look like it would be really nice if the guide speak in English instead of Swahili or something. Yeah? Okay. Introducing a new topic. Right? So this is what's going on. So we've discussed before how the mind will use the information. How, according to your samskar, you're going to deal, and then you're going to use the intelligence, you're going to find the various ways to apply. Then, according to your identity, you're going to choose. But this is also pointing out, according to our identity, how we see ourselves, that's what we decide, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to perceive. Right? Because there's so many things happening. Right? There's so many things happening. Like, let us say, okay, we're there in the temple room, and just as we're in the temple room, there's a big crowd, the pujaris are coming out with some mahaprasad to distribute, everybody moves forward. Now, if you moved right at that point, you could be right at the front, but then just as you're moving, on the ground, it catches your eye that there's a $100 bill there. Right? So depending upon how you look at stuff, then you'll go forward for the maha or grab the money. Or you'll grab the money and take it up, hand it to the pujari, and then take some maha prasad. Right? That's what you do, right? No? No? No, okay. So so basically what the Vedic system is doing, it's giving you ways to interpret things so that they can be used in the Lord's service. So the best is how Krishna as a person is pleased for it to be applied. That's real substance, the original substance, the original concrete. Or you could say the original objective. Now, if we take the spiritual, we'll do that. But if we don't, then we're going to interpret that how it's going to work for ourselves. Now, as we see the mechanics on whether how I perceive something, right? Let's say you look at something, okay? And so when you're able to conceive that it exists, because there's the potency of consciousness, one of the aspects of consciousness is I can be conscious of things, right? Everything's there, but there's ignorance covering everything, right? Because you don't know what it is. So the pramana chaitanya, that consciousness, that means you can understand what things are, right? That something's there, it exists, right? Then with the, I think it's called... what is it? Not Vritti. I think Vibhava. Not Vibhava. Oh, well, whatever. There's the second stage. Then having uncovered the ignorance of that, then the mind actually enters the thing. It takes on the shape of the thing. So let us say you go to the market, right, and the various vegetables have been there all this time. You go every day. But today, now, there's a new vegetable. There's a pumpkin there. So, Now the consciousness then perceives that, then the mind takes the form of a pumpkin. Believe it or not, that's why you see the pumpkin, because the mind's in the shape of a pumpkin. Right? Now, seeing that pumpkin, now then it goes to the third stage of the consciousness. Now, what is the experience of pumpkins? So is it something that, wow, pumpkin, great, or, oh no, pumpkin, you know, like that. So it just depends upon what is how you're looking at it. So that's then what you're going to do. But the mechanics of whether you see it for yourself, for others, for Krishna, the mechanics of uncovering what's there, seeing what's there, taking that form of that, and then getting an experience of that, that's going to happen. Now that experience is going to vary according to how you identify yourself. Right? Very simple. So, in other words, the important thing to bring out here is the abstract is exactly the same whether you're a devotee, not a devotee. You follow the Vedic culture, you don't. You're from America, you're from Europe, you're from Australia, you're from... It doesn't matter. That mechanics is the same. That abstract is the same. You know, whether it's the grosser, it's the subtler, it doesn't matter. It's the same mechanics. Because Krishna created the universe, that's the way it works. So we know this is the laws of nature. Now, in the concrete, that's where the variety is. Because in the abstract, it's impersonal. Why would it be different? Right? I say trees. That means there's this common point where all trees on the planet or in the universe or between the universes all have the same similar quality. It's impersonal. So it's not concrete, it's abstract. Right? It means you can use it, but the point is it's abstract. And the only point of the abstract is then to be able to apply it into the personal. So in other words, the Vedic concept is personal is concrete. Impersonal is abstract. What we see in the modern is impersonal is concrete and personal is abstract. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, and you see, if you absorb yourself in the abstract, then you become very abstract, like a, you know, how you call it? A physics professor. Totally abstract. Right? They can hardly deal with the personal. So they can't actually deal with concrete, but they'll say, no, that's science. No, that's just the abstract mechanics. Why have that? Because there's going to be the real application into people's lives. Does that make sense? That's how it works. So, now that means then the most essential is not the knowledge that you have, the skill that you have. This idea that the knowledge and skill will improve my devotion, on what basis can that stand? Because if that's true, then all these modern materialists who are very expert and successful in the world, they should be the best devotees. But they're not. In fact, many times they're not very well appreciative, right? So it has nothing to do with how well you do your service. I mean, absolutely nothing. That has to be accepted. It may be one of the most bitter statements that can be made after that I'm not God and I'm not the controller and enjoyer. But after that, that this abstract aspect of perceiving things and analyzing things actually has zero effect on devotional service. I mean, when I say zero, I mean absolute zero here. You know, that's what it is. So what is it? It's the consciousness on whether it's connected to Krishna or whether it's connected to my sense gratification. That's the real thing. That's where you make the difference on whether it's devotional or not. The abstract has nothing to do with it. Now, in applying this concrete thing, you're going to use the abstract as the medium for it, because how do you express that devotion to Krishna? It will be through the abstract. It will be through the impersonal. Right? You're going to use those forms and then apply those personally. Right? So then applying these forms, then that where you're applying it to please Krishna, That's devotion. So it's only that they're being engaged that makes it devotion. The things themselves aren't devotional at all. Never were, aren't now, never will be. Does that make sense? So because we look at it from the one, we think, if I have all these things, then devotional service will be great. Right? But that's not how it works. It's when you're conscious of Krishna, then things will be great. That's what makes devotional service great. So we have to understand is cultivating this mentality, this understanding, this is the actual pure devotion that we're talking about here. That's why Prahlad Maharaj is not entangled. Because he sees all these things, identifying them with Krishna. So he's not entangled. And also, you may look at it, oh, he's old now, he's all this and that. But when you have someone who lives for the life of Lord Brahma, that long of time, then do we need to worry about that, okay, he didn't take, you know, vanaprast or sannyas in 25 years, a grihastha-like life. We do, you know, because we're going to be dead after another so many years, while he's going to be there until the end of the life of Brahma. So, you know, give him a few manvantaras. Don't worry about it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that means then, according to the individual, then you have to apply it. So then that brings up the second aspect that Vamanadeva is establishing here, is that he's teaching the brahmachari sannyasis, you only take as much as you require. Right? He only needs 3 steps of land. That's all he's taking. Right? Because that's all he requires. He only requires 3 steps to accomplish the work of the demigods. He doesn't require 4, just 3. Right? Two will do the work of the demigods, but actually here you're dealing between the Lord and the devotee. So then devotional service and that exchange, a loving exchange between the Lord and the devotee, that requires the third. So in other words, what the work that has to be done and that devotional aspect. We always have to include the devotional because we can, yes, by being renounced I can do this and it'll work really nicely for an renunciation, but does it work nicely for the interaction with devotees? Right? You know, I'm very renounced. I only like to eat, let's say, some rice boiled in some water, right? Some kanji. And so people are coming over to eat, and so because I'm renounced and I don't want to eat anything else, we'll just cook kanji for everybody. So yes, it maintains your renunciation, but it doesn't cultivate your relationship with devotees. It doesn't address their position, the actual position there. But we'll take, oh, that doesn't matter. That's subjective. And the renunciation, that's the real thing. But as we see from the Vedic literature, it's exact opposite. You situate yourself according to renunciation, but the actual point is how you relate to others, how you interact with others. That's the actual thing. So therefore, I'm really sorry if this kind of throws a wet blanket on the kind of contemporary enthusiasm that by becoming professional and knowing things and talking in the professional jargon, using the professional way of talking and acting and standing and all those kind of things and meetings is going to make devotional service better, because it won't. It never will. If that's your nature, you engage that in Krishna's service, that's perfect. But to think that that itself makes devotional service good, that's a total illusion, as we said. Sorry to stark in absolutisms, but we're talking about the absolute truth, so we can afford to. This has to be very clear. Otherwise, Maya is creating a trick. And the first thing she does is cover, and once you're covered, then she can throw you, and then you won't even notice. And so the first point of consciousness is removing that covering. That's the first stage. And then you take the form of that. So do you want to take a Krishna conscious form, or you just want to take a pumpkin? It's up to you. So here then he's pointing out is that the devotee doesn't take more than required. So especially brahmachari sannyasis, they need less. Right? For themselves, for service may need so much, but for themselves less. Grihasthas require more. That was the first complaint. What about the grihasthas here? He's keeping so much. Shouldn't he be renounced? And then the second point is the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they should also be careful about this. So how much you require for your to be engaged in Krishna's service, how much you require for the service, that's what you use. More than that's not necessary. So Vamanadeva then sets a very nice example here, and we'll see is that all this will be unfolding as a wonderful pastime or interaction with Bali Maharaj, his great devotee. So, any questions or comments? Or? Yes. You have to use this funny microphone thingy here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in trying to in our growth of Krishna consciousness in the early years, we don't carry much responsibilities for the mission of the Lord. We are like a new... We don't carry. We are like a new boy, and we are just told chant some rounds and...
Here, just one second. Just as a question, everybody's leaving because you think it's the end of class? Do you think it's the end of class? Is that why you're going? No, I'm just saying, if you have work to do, you have to go, there's another class or something like that, or the dentist is waiting for you and all that, you go. But if you think the class is over, it's not. It's not over until we say, you know, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, that kind of thing. Because how it works is that you have a discussion, and then you have, it means you have the presentation, then there's a discussion. So the discussion is actually part of the process, because you hear, and then you try to understand. That's why it says that you hear pranipata, you want to know pranipata, then pariprashna, you ask a relevant inquiry. So, generally speaking, most who leave when we stop making the presentation may appreciate that, okay, the ideas and concept of learning is not a bad thing, you know, and I follow rules, so I'm coming and sitting here, and, you know, it's okay. I don't mind it, you know, it's like that. You know, breakfast is at 9 anyway, so, you know, I have the time. But if we think that the pariprashna part of it's not important, then we have actually missed the whole point of learning and education. Now, I know that most people don't leave time for questions because sometimes the question is just too weird, they don't want to deal with it. But the point is, you know, yeah. So here, then basically half the class is going presentation, half is going for discussion. So it's not that, oh, class is over, I can go now. So unless, if you have something to do, like you have to be somewhere, this, that, then fine, leave. But don't leave because you think the class is over. That's my point. I'm not saying don't leave. I mean, you can also leave if you just think it's all stupid and what the guy's saying, so therefore I'm out of here. That's okay also, but does that make sense? Just to make it clear. Otherwise, I find it really, really strange that as soon as you start asking for questions, people go. Does that mean you're uninquisitive? You don't want to know? Or you already know everything? But if you already know everything, why are you in the class anyway? So it doesn't make sense. Yeah, sorry.
Maharaj, so in the early stages of our Krishna consciousness, We have simple proposal from our superiors, like
chanting. We have simple proposals from our superiors like when we first take up Krishna consciousness.
Like just serve prasadam.
Serve prasadam. When is serving prasadam simple? Because, see, technically, serving prasadam technically should only be done by those who have second initiation. That's the Gaudiya standard. That's the Vaishnava standard. Because you're dealing, because prasad is directly Krishna. So therefore, then it's part of Pancharatra, so that requires second initiation. The holy name, that anybody can do, so you don't have to be second initiated, though that's directly Krishna. And you can come and take darshan of the deity, even though you're not second, but you can't go on the altar. So it's just a cultural point, just in your examples. It has nothing to do with
Maharaj,
the point.
Maharaj, in the sense, simple means the process, the procedure is very simple. It doesn't...
Here. But you're revealing that you don't know how to serve prasad. Because if you knew that, it's not simple. each thing, how it goes, how the order of it, what's the speed of it. Like, just like if I start the rice first and everybody else has to follow, you'll be there all day. I take the juice first and then take other things that go with the rice, then I put that. You know what I'm saying? Because we're Gaudiyas. We have a way of serving that no one else really does. Right? It means it's not all there on the plate when you sit down. There's an order, and each preparation is in an order, not just, okay, we start off with the main meal and then we'll bring the sweet. You know what I'm saying? So there's a fine thing. Just, you know, can you eat avial with anything? Or does it go with specific things? What does this go with? What does that go with? That means you have to know that. So how many times we've been sitting there and they'll give you the samosas and then the chutney will show up after the sweets? Or it'll show up first because the guy likes chutney? Right? Or he'll give you rice according to how much he eats? Right? Does that make sense? Or it's starting to get a little bit less, the preparation, and he likes that, so he starts to either serve less or not serve it at all, just leave the bucket. Somebody wants sabji, he'll take the other bucket. Or he served you, and then he makes his own plate and then sits down. Right? So why are we laughing? Because it's familiar, right? So everything I've said is wrong. It's not serving prasad. So you name me the prasad server in the movement who can avoid all that and do it properly and just be attentive to everyone's there. Right? Go ahead. Knock me out.
Thank you.
Yet to see it. That's why we have buffet for the top, our GBC. Because except for a handful of people, no one knows how to serve prasad. No one knows the importance of it. They don't understand the culture, even though Chaitanya Charitamrita is chock-a-block with this. We take it that management is the importance. Well, if we put emphasis on serving prasad and being with devotees, a lot of our problems would just go away. It's actually that simple. Say what you want. It's that simple. Krishna's there, things get better.
Thank you, Maharaj. It's about
ourselves, it's about the management, and then we can take that into the management. If you can't serve prasad, there's a good chance you can't manage very well either. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maharaj, part of my answer is from what you shared also just now. And when we get into management situations, our japa, our prayers to the Lord, they sometimes get choked up in upadhis.
We?
Our offering of honest, genuine prayers from the heart.
Right.
They get choked up in the upadhis.
We get choked up with the upadhis.
Yeah, that means we are not able to heartfully express to the Lord that, oh Lord, I need you.
Okay, that's interesting. Like the pure devotees, when they see the Lord, their voice chokes up and everything.
No.
And so here we're getting choked up that we can't speak because I have too many attachments. And please, Krishna, remove all my Yeah, like that kind of thing.
Means, Maharaj, we are not able to actually genuinely feel the need of... Because the...
We don't feel the need of offering prayers.
The Purusha Bhav becomes more prominent in the heart. Means, at least I can share my situation. And thus, the bhakti element may get troubled because of the service. Although we are trying to actually take responsibility on behalf of the Lord and Prabhupada and Gurudev. And it has been offered. So what kind of precautions can we take to actually work against these tendencies which come because of the...
See, is that the heart is impure, right? From first having the idea I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the root of weakness of heart. Then we have the specifics of that on... in which way we like to show that I'm the controller and the enjoyer, our specific conditioning. Does that make sense? So that then is going to be what we're dealing with. But the whole point is that we're not that. So that's the whole idea of upadis, is we don't identify with it. Because in here, it's very important when we're looking at upadis, we're not only not looking, trying to get rid of the impious. We're also trying to give up the pious. You know, nowadays devotees talk about being good and nice and community. These are pious things. So they're attached to piety. Before they were more attached to impiety and they didn't mind using it for Krishna. Now it's about being pious, and somehow or another, if you're pious, that already is Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? So this is the difficulty, is that we're neither of these. We don't do things wrong because it doesn't please Krishna. And we do things right or pious because it pleases Krishna. It's not because we don't do it because it's impious and we do it because it is pious. No, we only do it because it pleases Krishna. Very important. That's what we're saying. The mechanics look exactly the same for a gross materialist and for a spiritualist. It's the same. But the interpretation of it, how you see it in connection to Krishna, coming in the parampara, that's then what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference between a non-devotee, someone with some agyata sukriti, someone with faith, someone who's situated in devotional service, someone who's on the, you know, transcendental platform, or the spiritual platform, than those on the transcendental. All that is depending upon that development of that faith. That's the difference. It's not something else. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee because he's a great manager. You know what I'm saying? He's a pure devotee because of his surrender to the Lord, his faith. And him coming from a Kshatriya background, therefore he engages his Kshatriya nature in Krishna service. Just like Arjuna, Yudhishthira, you know, so many other great personalities, is that whatever is their conditioning, that's what they engage. Right? So in other words, that's second. The primary is the consciousness. I'm not the controller, I'm servant. So if I'm servant, now how do I look at all the other stuff? Right? If I'm the Lord and Master, then I'm the manager, how am I going to look at it? I say jump, everybody else better say how high. And if they don't, then they're insincere, they're not good, they're not this, they're not that. But if I see that I am servant of Krishna and my duty is the ability to organize the devotees to be engaged in devotional activities. Therefore, if they're not engaged, then it's my business to inspire them. Rather than, no, I said it has to be done. Or if I got, we got the management done, but people aren't Krishna conscious, what can you do? That's individual. It has nothing to do with me. You understand? So in other words, I take the responsibility that leadership means making people Krishna conscious. Now, if in that I happen to be a manager as an ability, then I will use that managing ability to help others become Krishna conscious. And so that means I'm still teaching, I'm still preaching, even though I'm managing. Now, if you mix the two, of course, it may appear in the beginning it slows things down, but in the long run it doesn't. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, like we have bhajan and seva.
So we have?
Bhajan and seva.
Bhajan and seva. So, and why are these different?
Actually, when we do like the morning japa and all, so to do action in the world is easier for a person in mode of passion than to be actually conscious of Krishna. So when we are doing bhajan, by the roles that we have, which will actually help us to develop proper relationship with Krishna. The roles sometimes are coming into our bhajan. So my question is, Maharaj, that how to fight against that tendencies which come because we have to take responsibilities to grow in Krishna consciousness. But
fight against what? I don't care.
The fight against the seva profile.
The seva profile.
Like suppose
because
a manager.
Because it's an identity.
A manager. Say a manager.
But it's an identity.
Yes,
because we're using the term management because you had brought it up, and because there's this idea in the modern, taking from the modern, you know, self-help gurus, that the management is what makes everything wonderful. So that's the only reason we come up. But it applies anywhere. You can't just say that, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or you know, I'm the pot washer, or you can't identify with anything.
With any action, it can actually take our mind more than.
Any action can take you away from Krishna. That means any action can take you towards Krishna.
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that Krishna is pointing out that he being everything. That's his first statement, right? If we take the essence of the Bhagavatam, then the first verse says he is everything. And he's there before, he's there during, he's there after, and what's there before and after is all him. The second, so that's the abstract. The second one he's taking it into is that what you value in that, what you value, that's the concrete. If it's not connected to him, then that's illusion. So you're in Maya. And if that concrete you connect to him, then now you're Krishna conscious. But in any case, all these technical things, then he as a person, his personality is beyond that. Therefore the bhakti. Because I can see that it's all Krishna and not be an illusion about that, but I'm not worried about him as a person beyond that. So then there won't be bhakti. Does that make sense? So you have to be conscious and it has to be favorable to Krishna. So it's not, so in other words, we're showing the first, the mechanics is there, the external, the secondary or the abstract. That is there, I'm conscious. But I'm favorably conscious for Krishna. That means I have to identify, for it to be favorable has to be bhakti. For it to be bhakti, I have to be wanting to do it for Krishna, for his pleasure. Right? So it's just a matter of adjusting the identity, then it works. That's why Krishna gives that as the first thing. If we identify as servant, because Krishna, Braja Krishna is the master. Everyone else is a servant. Baladeva is the supreme personality of servant or Godhead. So Balaram's a servant. He identifies as a servant. Does that make sense? So if we see ourselves as servant, it's not a strange thing. So that's the key. And therefore, in prayers, we're having problem offering proper prayers. That's why then you have both stuti and stava. So depending upon how you do, some say, you know, give different definitions for each. But basically, you have two. One is the prayers of the acharyas that you then offer. And one is that based on that kind of understanding, your own realization, then you speak your own prayer. So if you don't have realization, stick to the prayers offered by the acharyas. And then with time, as you start to see, yes, there's elements that I want to bring out, I appreciate, and that, then you start offering your own prayers. But you do both. That's why in the morning we sing the Guru Vastika. That will be the you know, what we technically call stuti. And then stava means maybe our prayers to Krishna after the Mangal Artik and all this. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Can I cover something else? Somebody? Yeah, why not?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were very nicely discussing about these two things, that one person may have skills and on the other hand, we have to be more conscious about serving with the proper attitude. So Maharaj, my question is that with the skills, it is also a requirement because...
Are the skills a requirement?
Because it pleases the person whom we are trying to please, our superiors. So right. By the virtue of the skills, you know, it becomes very easy.
No, by the virtue of the devotion, they're pleased. You understand?
Yes, Maharaj.
It's just like this. Have you ever heard of the term prima donna? No? Prima donna? Maybe too esoteric. Anybody's heard of the term? Wow. Okay. Three people. Well, then a few more, but... Prima donna, it's a term used in the... I mean, it can be used it's more broadly, but it originally comes from the field of ballet. You've heard of ballet, right? It's kind of Western dance form. So now you have all the different people who are doing the dancing. But now in these, generally there's always a main part. You know, like you have a lead actor and actress. So the lead, you know, actress is the prima donna, right? So I guess prima means first or something, right? So they're the best. They can do it the best on all levels. That's why they're there, right? But you also have a term. It means if you've worked in the field or been exposed to it, there's also an application of the term where you say someone's a prima donna. That means they're so proud of their ability and they let everybody else know it. And they let everybody else not only know that they're the best, but everybody else is the worst because they're not good as them. So it has both, all this. All goes, you just say prima donna, all this comes out. Like that. Does that make sense? So the point is just I'm just giving a strong example so you can maybe appreciate it, that if you do your service with perfect knowledge, but your attitude's wrong, there is no one you'll please. But in the corporate world, you can be in middle management because you don't interact with the guys on top, so they'll tolerate you. You know, you'll just make the guys below you miserable, but as long as you get the work, then they'll pay you. But if you start to see as the money coming in starts to diminish because of your attitude, they'll get rid of you. Right? Does that work? Does that one work better? Okay. No. You like the ballerina one better. Okay. So that's the whole point is it's not. It's the skill being done with, you know, that attitude. Right? Like once I was in Vrindavan, I was serving Prabhupada's servants. I wasn't Prabhupada's servant, I was his servant's servant. Right? So I'd cook and serve lunch to them. And so I'd do that every day. It was like Tamal Krishna Maharaj was eating and, you know, Bhakti Chur Maharaj and like this. So then one day Nitaichand Maharaj, he had come and he served. And I noticed Tamal Krishna was so happy. But now I had learned from Nitaichand Maharaj, so I knew I was doing whatever he was doing. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj mentioned he was so happy with his service. And so I asked him, so was there something I was doing wrong? He says, no, technically you're serving exactly the same as him. But he said, the difference is you are the servant. Well, he's the temple president. One of the, you know, of Mayapur, which at the time was one of the major temples of the movement, you know, hosts the GBC, does everything like this. And so he has that service attitude. It's so much more pleasing that when you have such a person that could just sit with them and eat, right? It means at that time, no GBC would have said, oh, don't sit here. You know, they would have invited him, but he chose to serve. Because he wanted to do that service. So that attitude is what made it special. Otherwise, technically it was the same. So we have to understand is for Krishna, what technically can you do to please him? He is everything. He is rasa. He is music. He is dance. He is food. He is technique. He's everything. So what can you do? So it's the bhakti. We have to catch that. When we catch that and quit arguing, no, but we just, you know, we need it. How can you express it? Yes, of course that's there, but it's still secondary. Who's more important, you or the car? Because without the car, you can't get to the place. And if you don't get to the place, you can't do your stuff. So therefore, the car is more important. You're not actually so important. Is this the way it works? No, the person is important, and the car, though it's technically doing the work, is secondary to the person. Therefore, the technique, knowledge, and skill is secondary to bhakti. When that's accepted, and we have that faith, now we can look in detail at that technique and be very good at the technique. Yudhishthira Maharaj isn't good at being a king. You know, do we see the comments in the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam are, Yudhishthira's a really nice guy, we really appreciate him, but as far as a manager, he's not that great, but, you know, probably better him because he'll give you less trouble. You know, Jarasandha, I mean, 20,000 kings he's already put in jail, and he's shooting for 100,000, so I think we'll go with Yudhishthira because he's nicer. But, you know, he's not such a great manager. Have we ever heard that? No. So his skill is so perfect that you don't even hear about it. He's so good at managing that when Krishna's there, he can spend the time with him. You have to be a good manager for that. Not so good managers, they can't take time. You can't talk to them. They never have time because they're not that good. They're good, but not that good. But the best guys, they just sit there in their chair. They can talk with you all day. You understand? So it's the personal that's the main. That's where the taste is. As long as we think it's the secondary, we will always be distracted. Always. That's the meaning of mixed devotional service. We think the secondary is important. Pure devotional service, the primary is important, and the secondary is there. That's why Varnashram. I have the nature of a manager. I use that for Krishna. But it's my opportunity to serve Krishna. Someone else is doing this for Krishna. It's not that my manager is better than your washing the pots. Right? But it's that I have to organize it so that he can wash the pots. Right? Because if the cashier doesn't, the treasurer doesn't deal with it, so the cashier can get the money, so that whoever does the marketing gets the soap and all the things like that, and then there's a schedule organized so he can wash it. So if that's not all in place, he can't wash pots. That's what the temple president's business is. Is everybody able to do their service? Not, no, I'm sitting here, don't bother me, I'm doing big stuff. That's not a leader. You understand? So that's what we're talking about here. So yes, it's important, and we can discuss it. If we're so attached to it, then we don't even address what we're addressing now. If we're so attached to the secondary that we can't see that there's any way that it's not the most important thing, then we just discuss, yes, engage that. You're a manager, do that for Krishna. Manage for Krishna. Go out, do big things for Krishna. You know, whatever it is that you do, do it for Krishna. We'll only talk that. That's what the early stages of the Bhagavatam do. But we're on 8th canto, and it mentioned Prahlad Maharaj. He's the first one to point out that these secondary things aren't so important. They're a waste of time if they're not connected to Krishna. The ones before it are all connecting it to Krishna, but the emphasis is not there. It's emphasized on, take your nature connected to Krishna. And he's pointing out, if you don't take your nature and connect it to Krishna, your nature is useless. Takes a little bit less ego, a little bit more faith to digest that. You understand? And then, if that's accepted, then you can have the most developed, sophisticated managerial system there is, and everybody will be perfectly Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. But if we don't see that, then we'll miss the point. Then we'll think we're the big manager, and this, on one class, Bhavananda Prabhu pointed out, you know, when he was a big manager, says, if you think I'm the big manager, then after you die, you'll take birth again to be the big manager. Said, everyone else will go back to Godhead, and you'll be left here to be the big manager. So he said, better be surrendered to Krishna. Yeah? Okay, so we're over time, we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.